are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network.
Into the Lotus Place on this Sunday night. It is the first of the year. Oh, and my little dogs, they just want to say Happy New Year to everybody. Ooh, let me tell them that we hear them and it is okay. All right. So Happy New Year. We were not on Friday night. I was ill. But I'm feeling better on my way to Detroit, Michigan. Oh, my goodness. Wait a second. Okay. So welcome in, Zola. Welcome in, Delta. How's everybody? Namaste.
Hello.
Namaste. Best New Year to everybody.
Yes. Happy New Year to everybody.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Delta?
Fine. Look, I know a lot of them still got the headband from that long hangover weekend.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you. Then a lot of them got a lot of long hanging over stomach. They don't eat too much.
Yeah. And you said Papa made it home, and he came in and cooked a big pot of gumbo.
Yeah, Papa was in the house pillow. He went in a day before New Year's, and Papa been sick, and he stayed in the house pillow 5 days. He got out late yesterday evening. Papa was dreaming about coming home cooking, even though he still feels kind of bad. He came home and made a huge pot of gumbo.
Oh,
wow. Mm-hmm. And won't
That's
anybody.
A lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, gumbo
amazing.
Is a lot of work.
And love for
gumbo.
Me to invite people over.
Really?
Yep.
How wonderful. Well, tell Papa I wish I can come and get some, but I'll be there hopefully next month though for Mardi Gras.
Yes.
If the creek don't rise. If the creek don't rise.
Ooh,
then...
and the creeks are rising all around. Look
at I know.
Everywhere.
I'm telling you, it was really bad here in Texas. What was it, last week? I think it was about 11 or 13 people died from the storm.
11.
That's why they moved up
there
to Dallas, Texas. They have some horrible weather in Dallas. So, oh my God. Mm-mm-mm. Pray and follow those families. And also, let me just say this. Let me send my prayers and condolences out to Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing's family.
Yes,
Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing. We did have her on the Lotus Place show 2 years ago. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Right around this time, about 2 years ago. And we had Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing on. Of course, she's the author of the ISIS paper and her seminal work on the ISIS paper, where she literally just clearly explained like white supremacy and the whole I thought he had a gun. You remember when they used to say, well, I thought he had a gun, now they just shoot you. They
right.
don't care if you got a gun or it don't even matter now.
Right.
They don't shoot you. But in her work, the ISIS paper, and you can go on YouTube and there's several lectures of her speaking about the ISIS paper, her work. I have the book, The ISIS Papers, The Keys to the Colors, Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing. This book,
I do too.
Actually, before I read the book, I purchased a CD with her discussing the book. And, oh my God, it just, it's like, once I listen to that CD, it just like opened up a whole nother section of my mind to be able to critically analyze white supremacy. And I was like, bam, that's it right there. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now. So
it makes sense.
It makes sense. It makes sense why they say I thought he had a gun. She explains the sports and the black hole for the golf and basketball. And just all of that. This book is it's a must read. It's definitely
it is.
A
it's a must read.
Or either listen to some of her clips on YouTube. I would say about a book too. Maybe it can go to her. I don't think she ever had any children though, so she doesn't have any children to carry on this work. So it's up to us to carry on this work. I think Dr. Kress has any children.
Mhm. I never heard of any.
No, I haven't either. We're having a tribute though to Dr. Francis Kress Wells, and Brother Brown will join us also because he was on the show when Dr. Kress was on that time when we had her, and he's spoken with her too. So Brother Brown will join us, and we just lost a great one. I mean, she was truly.
We really did.
She was a great one. Oh, let me welcome in Brother Canty. Brother Canty is on the line. Brother Canty, welcome in.
Hey,
King B.
King B. How's everybody doing? I was
fabulous.
Blessed to have gone to some of the lecture series that Dr. Wilson would hold up in Harlem at Clinton Avenue Baptist Church and then at St. Luke's Lutheran Church right across the street from, it was my Zion Lutheran Church right across the street from Clinton Avenue. It's called First World Conference. And she always tore into Oprah. She made it clear that educated couples, one of them is denying truth about the racism in America and about their culture. And chances are it is the person of color that's living in denial. And it is very clear that white supremacy will never compromise with the black people as humans. It is unfortunate for our people that we didn't grasp what the sister was saying, because she also made it clear that we as a people never had political or legal protection. Even the best years of our lives in this country was during the Reconstruction. Black people didn't want to believe the prophet that warned us that the government was going to take it away to prevent a second civil war. His name was Martin Delaney. What would be a play on his brother? He was very clear about the mentality of white supremacy. Martin Delaney warned blacks that this government was going to take our Reconstruction rights away from us to prevent a second civil war. Now, the Republicans who ran the North made a deal with the South, who was a Democrat in the South, told the Democrats in the South, now here were two parties now, and she always got on these two parties that she together got the message that neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party meant just a hill of beans. She said that the South was told by the North, and by Republicans in the North, that they would pull the Union troops out there, guaranteeing our Reconstruction rights. Now, check this out now. The North told the South, you could do to the blacks whatever you wanted to. That's when the lynchings began and the Klan was born. She made it very clear that why is it taking us so long to get the message about both parties were a detriment to our total liberation. And to this day, the Republican Party never bothered to the fact that it sold us out and left us to fend for ourselves, which we had nothing to defend ourselves. And the Democrats in the South, they had a terrorist task force to force us back into slavery called the Ku Klux Klan. That was it. So we are experts on terrorism. So, you know, like this sister here, she left us a legacy. It's unfortunate that she didn't have any offspring. But what she left us, if we could only just listen to what she was saying, but...
Yeah.
You know, and oh God, she was, I imagine
phenomenal.
On the radio with Sandra Bland. Can you imagine those two having a talk show? You know, like, one, a young one, and one, the older one, but they're both warriors. And Sandra Bland just also refused to be an angel mama, in front of a racist white supremacist who just took upon himself, oh, this is one of them uppity niggers. He got to show her who he is. And knew he could get away with it. But Sandra, Dr. Welsing, oh God, it was like goose pimples every time I would hear her speak because she would raise the roof off of what was going on with our people. And she had a thing about brothers dating outside the race and sisters, like I said before, living in denials of the racism in America. So it was
absolutely.
That Oprah would never deal with the issues of black women being attacked, like raped, like Swanna Brawley. And that, you know, Oprah was used by the system to perpetuate this thing that black women are making it. You know, so, and Oprah just played the script.
Yeah, well, that's Oprah. Oh, excuse me. Oprah said she had to make her millions and billions and not be too controversial. So.
Well,
right.
She's not controversial at all. She's just a safe Negro that consider her a trustee. That she, her, and what's the ball headed woman that made a fool of himself for Miss Universe? Steve Harvey.
Oh, Steve Harvey. Oh my God.
That was the epitome of one who needs to sit down and shut up.
Yeah. Steve Harvey.
Philippines. Couldn't even spell Philippines.
Nor did he spell Columbia. Miss Columbia. Columbia. I think she said, I forgot what that idiot said. Steve Harvey, he just needs to sit down. But he got a 3-year, he signed three more years to
because
host
the
show.
Yeah,
he did?
Yeah, you know, he fits the pattern of one who's an author's ass. And then that's the kind of Uncle Tom that they can put around the figure. They wouldn't give it to Chris Rock because they're not sure what he might say.
Yeah. Chris Mark may come out and say anything. Sandra, can you read this? This is in the beginning of Dr. Kress's book, and then we'll go into Delta's hot topic. And this is from the ISIS papers, Dr. Frances Kress Welsing's book, The Keys to the Color. And she writes, this work is dedicated to the victims of the global system of white supremacy, racism, all non-white people worldwide, past and present, who have resolved to end this great travesty and bring justice, then peace, to planet Earth. And this is what Neely Fuller, who inspired her to delve into this work the way that she did, this is his statement. If you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. And he made that statement in 1971.
Imagine
so
that.
These people, I was born in 1971. So we're talking almost 45 years. This man is trying to tell people what the business is. Okay. So that's why I just love Dr. Frances Kress Welsing. I'm so glad that I was able to interview her. As well as Dr. Neely Fuller had a long conversation with him, maybe about 7-8 years ago, something like that. And I have this book too, the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept Workbook. Workbook, I like that. I mean, because he makes you work in that book. You got to do these little workbooks, work charts and all of this stuff in his book. So that's not a just, let me just breeze and peruse through this book and read it and blah, blah, blah and put it back on my shelf. It's some work because dealing with this system, it is some work. And these are two people, Dr. Frances Kress Welsing and Dr. Neely Fuller. They really, really break this whole system down and explain it to you. We may not agree with every single thing, and that's okay, but there are some concepts
that truly, truly can help us understand what we're experiencing and going through. So I just love it.
You know, it was a miracle that she never faced reprisals by local authorities or statewide, because she was living until her dying day in the Washington, D.C. area. Am I right?
Yeah, but you know, now they were harassing her, and I think that some people are saying that this could, what she was experiencing could have contributed to her stroke, because for years that school, you know, they built their school next to her home, and those school bells and all of that stuff was irritating her, and she complained and tried to fight the building of that school next to her home, from my understanding, for some years. Then they went ahead on and built the school right there next to her home, and it was very, very disruptive to her. So I maintain it probably caused a lot of stress, which in turn led to the stroke. I mean, she is a senior. She's an elder woman, 80 years of age. And just think, you're constantly trying to battle this stuff, and then you battle.
Moderator has disconnected.
People.
The call will now end.
Battling with these people, trying to fight racism and white supremacy, and then not only battling with the system, but trying to battle with these people to get them to understand that that's a lot. That's a tremendous
job
and a lot of pressure on you when you're constantly trying to explain this to people, and then acting like they just have this mental slave lock on their head where they just don't get it. You know, that's why now I don't even deal with trying to explain all that stuff to people. I just don't. I can refer you to a couple of books or whatever, but I'm not getting ready to waste my time with it. I'm working with those that's ready to do the work. So, Delta, come on, bring us some hot topics. What you got? What you have for us?
Yes, how you everyone doing tonight?
Well, our
first one is coming out of Pennsylvania. And this was on YouTube, and I got this off a doctor's page, Dr. Randy Shaw. Well, this white man in Pennsylvania, they was having a protest against some company, or the environment or something. I'm not quite sure, but they was having this protest. And the camera people came to film it, to put it on TV, the protest. There was a black man behind the camera videoing. This white man came and he started cussing all the protesters out. All the protesters was white. They had their kids out there too. And the man was cussing. And the man was cussing. He was even white. But when he saw the cameraman, he called the cameraman a monkey, called the cameraman an ape, and went to making monkey sounds and degrading the cameraman. A lot of the white people in this that was in the protest come to the black man's defense, told him to take that away from there. You know, don't do that. But he kept a right on and started calling them MF, I mean, just all type. It's on Dr. Randy Shaw page. It's on my page, too. You can see the YouTube video. Someone filmed him on his cell phone. And the company that he worked for was MMC. It's some type of company. Somebody knew him, and they sent the company the video. The white man was fired immediately. And now a lot of people were saying the company shouldn't have fired him. But the company says that when you work for us, we have a certain reputation that we have to uphold. And when you go out and brand our product, I guess, in a different light, and you want our employees, you are subject to be fired. So they fired him and told him, not only when they fired him, they told him they would never do business with him again. Then also, now this is one, y'all, now this is one of the Can I say something, y'all? Now, y'all know I'm a Christian woman. And y'all know I try to live right. But sometimes, even the devil rises up in me. We got the most stupidest black wank you ever want to see.
Ooh.
If I was close to that black wank, excuse my French.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm a break it down for you in a few minutes.
Okay.
This black wank, if I was close to her, I'd whoop up myself. I would get me a stick and get me a stick with some nails and whoop her like a slave, like a runaway slave. Now, that's how mad I am of her. Now, let me break the contents down.
Okay.
Y'all remember this mother a while back? She'd been all over the news. She was a homeless mother. And she had a son that was disabled. And the lady played the Powerball. She's a young woman, about 34 years old. She had four kids, and one of her children was bedridden. And she played the Powerball. The woman won. And she was all over CNN, and I can't remember where it was. I didn't get the exact town it was in, but I know everybody know the story. The woman won $188 billion from this Powerball lottery.
Wow.
And the woman, she was crying all on national TV. Put it up a shield while y'all talking to me, y'all these scholars with this computer. And the lady won this lottery, and she won all on national TV, CNN, and everywhere else, saying that she was going to buy her a home, turn her life around. She was homeless, and she was going to do this, and she was going to do that. Well, this hood rat, and I'm going to call her for what she is. She's a stupid hood rat.
Ooh.
She have this boyfriend that is been arrested several times for drug trafficking. She's been taking some of this money and helping her boyfriend traffic drugs. Then, not only top of that, this man have been arrested two or three times. This woman have spent out of that money $21 million. Now listen at me now. $21 million. See, and they know she's a stupid hood rat. And that's why there's no way in the H that they should be charging nobody no $21 million for over three cases. But they know they don't have hood rat sense. $21 million out of this money. Do she not know that she have four children and one child is bedridden? What that she can do and put up for her children and set something aside where she was homeless and didn't have nothing? This same boyfriend that she was going with, I don't think he's now one of the father's children. The father to am one of the children. $21 million. The $21 million she unpaid on this deadbeat, fighting his drug cases, running him out of jail. Now he's got her selling drugs. I wish that it was some kind of law, even though it's her money, that they can come in and confiscate her money and made it to be take care of her child that can't do nothing for himself. Some people is just ignorant, and this is a stupid, ignorant hood rat.
She probably just needs some financial. She needs somebody to come in.
No, baby. No, baby. No, baby. She is giving. This is her man, and she's standing by her man. This is no. This is not nobody need financial help. This is. Helping her finances. This is somebody need to get the ding-a-ling-a up in between her legs that's running her crazy.
Mm.
That's running her crazy that is so good to her that you're spending up all your money on this piece of trash, and you got four children.
Mm-hmm.
Now you gotta have. Now come on, now we gotta have some common sense. Now you want questions from Icy Hot? You want her to answer? This is one right here. I'm answering it to her because money like that, $21 million,
oh,
I'd have had me a casino. I had me several major apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm.
But you getting this hood rat out of jail. You getting this hood rat out of jail.
Where is this at? Where is this at?
That's all she knows, though.
Where is this at?
I can't remember where it was. And it's on my Facebook page, but I can't pull it up while I'm on the computer. I can't pull it up while I'm on the computer.
No problem.
I mean, while I'm on my phone.
You're right.
I mean, it's just sad. Look at our people. Then we wonder why we don't have anything. Look at our people. Look at these bad choices this young mother is making. This is money that she could
But all of them make those bad choices now, not just us. Now, don't just put it on
I know,
on black people.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Some whites make some
money,
pretty bad choices with their money, too.
I know, but this is money away for your child that's disabled.
You got a child that's disabled.
Yeah. See, I could care less about what bad choices white people make. They are white supremacists. They live in a world where they want to see, like Trump is saying, let's make us great again. Now, he doesn't get the question from the media, in what way was America great and what caused it to be great again. He wants to turn back the hands of time when blacks was in pre-civil rights or post-reconstruction, and that white people, whether they got money or not, as long as they could scapegoat blacks, they were happy. And right now, black people are being too unbelievable brain damage to the point where a lot of us won't be able to be saved. We're talking about an imminent race war as soon as Obama leaves office. Where the dress rehearsal is how law enforcement is killing unarmed black people like it's a sport. And I could hear a fig about how white people don't spend their money wisely. They're going to have their revenge on us when Obama leaves office. But like you said, Mother Donnie, where is the sense of putting millions of dollars in a sewer rat who has no desire to do anything except to give her candy between her legs and she gives him money so he can go get his Mercedes Benz or his other fine clothing and jewelry, and she has a child that needs special attention. That she could kill less and living probably
$21 million on this man. She just won this money about 3 years ago, 3 or 2 years ago. $21 million.
I'm trying to figure out because I need to find this story. I just can't fathom the idea of somebody having a $21 million case. I don't even think OJ.
But that's what I'm telling you. They know they don't have common sense, and I don't mean it. Disrespect our people, but what I'm trying to show you, how the white supremacists will make a fool out of you. Sure, go to my Facebook page. I can't pull it up while I'm on the phone. I can't do
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, I tell you what,
that's something we really need to talk about. Because when we, as black women, when we get money, we need to be wise.
Okay.
We need to be wise with our money.
Well, I totally agree with that, and I think what her situation probably is, what it sounds like, she's just never, ever been in a position to have any kind of money so that she can have some kind of financial counseling as to what to do with her money. When you don't have nothing and you get something, it's just like these ball players. They go from being broke poor in the project to all of a sudden having $40 million. So if you hadn't had any type of financial counseling for some period of time, to try to help you with that, then, I mean, you're going to go out and you're going to buy your Ferrari.
It's going out the window.
Yeah, you're going to buy Ferraris for everybody. You're going to buy homes for your mom and for yourself, your friends. You're balling out of control. You never had anything. Now all of a sudden you have more money than you could have ever imagined, and you've been dreaming about having this money all your life. But did you dream about, let me get a financial planner? And do I have a financial planner that's really going to advise me properly?
Right.
Let's take a quick break, and then we have a caller, and we're going to come back with your hot topic, Delta, and let's let Aja do her little mind, body, and spirit, too, when she comes back, and then we can pick back up on the hot topics. Let's just take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
We are developing epidemic levels of the effeminization of young black males. I say the pants tagging it, sagging down, is just a subconscious invitation for homosexuality. You see, it's revealing the buttocks. See, so the pants are getting lower and lower and lower. The next step is to step out of the pants altogether. And so you step out of the pants, you're going to put on a dress. The black men are destroyed. Then the black people are gone, and we have the state of genocide.
Okay, and that was Dr. Francis Chris Welsing speaking about black men and their saggy pants. Now she made this comment. She gave this critical analysis years before the black male models started coming out, walking on the runway with these little skirts and things, and these little rappers coming out with these skirts.
She sure did.
And so, absolutely. I remember when she gave this comment. And so, I mean, she basically envisioned where we were going with the black men sagging their pants. And I know Brother Dick Gregory says, you know, oh, forget about them sagging their pants, this, and that, all that. But I still feel like men should not walk around with their pants hanging down. I don't want to see your butt. Nobody wants to see your butt.
Nobody wants to see that.
And it appears that you have some type of mental deficiency, like you can't put up your clothes. I mean, we learn how to put on clothes when we're children, when we're babies. So why are you walking around with your pants hanging down as if you don't know how to pull your clothes up, like you don't know what fits you? And so all of this was stopped, I think, when these young girls started telling these young boys, I'm not going nowhere with you with your pants hanging down. You're not going nowhere with me with my boobs hanging out.
Right.
You know, so why should I go anywhere with you with your pants hanging down? That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these girls, they were walking around with their thongs showing too for a while. That was a little fad going on too, a little trend or whatever. But anyway, Aja, come on, bring us your mind, body, and spirit, and we'll take our call. Maybe Delta have her story for us.
Oh, okay. I wanted to share a little information about the eyes, the importance and the functions of the eyes. A lot of times we just kind of take them for granted, and we think that they're just for vision. So I won't go through all the different parts of the eyes because there's so many different parts and a lot of people would find that boring. But I did want to talk about a couple parts of the eye that we don't normally talk about. We normally talk about the pupil, which dilates, and the cornea, like the window of the eye, and controls the amount of eye light that enters the eye. And, of course, the iris, which is named after the Egyptian goddess Isis, determines the color of the eye and acts like a shutter. But we don't often talk about the sclera. The sclera is the white part of the eye. And I have been my eyes are not, the white part of my eyes are not white like a lot of people. They're sort of brown.
And it bothered me for a long time until I saw Madge Sinclair, who played in Roots, the wife. Well, her eyes are the same as mine. They have more melanin in her eyes than many people. So I did some research on the eyes, and I was really, really pleased to find out some information regarding melanin in the eye. But back to the sclera. The sclera is called the conspicuous sclera because the human eyes are distinct in the animal kingdom because the sclera is plainly visible when the eye is open. So the sclera is white and is contrasting with the iris. And most animals, the iris is so large you can't see the white, or the white part is the same color as the iris. So in humans, it's called the conspicuous sclera because in humans, you can infer where a person is looking by looking, watching the white part of their eye. For instance, men getting in trouble with women say, I saw you looking at her ass. And he says, no, I wasn't. Yeah, I saw you because your eyes went that way. But animals don't do that. They don't use that nonverbal communication like we do. But dogs, being around humans, they have picked up on it, and they use it to figure out where we're looking, but they don't use it within each other. So that's why it's called the conspicuous eye sclera, because another person can infer where you're looking. Now, no two irises are alike. There are distinctive fingerprints. Eye print identification is used in higher tech security systems, and iridology is an alternative medical practice, whereas the eyes are used to determine the state of one's health. It's used to prevent disease, not treat it, and to maintain optimum health. You can determine genetic weaknesses. You can determine a person's natural personality type. You can determine the functioning of their nervous system, not the current state of any tissue function, or you can't detect any infections, but you can see the above mentioned things and determine the strengths and weaknesses in different parts of your organs just by examining the patterns of a person's eyes. Now, melanin dominant individuals such as Africans can see the full spectrum of colors more vividly than melanin recessive humans like the Europeans. The melanin-dominant people also have more melanin in their ears, so they can hear the full range of sound. That's why we're so good at music. We can hear the full range of music when people who are melanin-recessive cannot hear everything that we can hear. Melanin is more dominant in our taste buds as well. We have more melanin in our taste buds, which allow us to be able to prepare foods better. We can taste things better because the Europeans do not have as much melanin in their taste buds. Therefore, they cannot combine foods as well as melanin-dominant people. Although vision is perhaps our most dynamic process, most of us think of the eye as just having only a single function, eyesight. But it has many, many functions. And I will share these with you in part two. But I want to let Delta get back to her hot topics.
All right. I did pull up the story, Delta. Thank you for sending this to me. So she won $188 million. Dollars Powerball prize, and she spent $12 million bailing out this heroin trafficking boyfriend for the third time, bringing the total cost to $21 million. That is absolutely insane. I cannot even imagine nobody's nothing being that good I just can't. I just, not my boyfriend, not my live-in heroin trafficking boyfriend. No, you can find you somebody else with your, what is it that she won? $188 million. She can find her a nice young man. Nice young man.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice. So sad. Unless
and she's
he
in
got
North Carolina.
Unless and he got her hooked on it.
Well, she may be.
In order to control her. But that is a perfect scenario. He must have a hook because when men know women have a lot of money and they want to control them, they'll take whatever it takes to control her. And he know Heron will control you. And he probably turned her out, just my opinion, in order for something is not right. $21 million on a deadbeat?
On a deadbeat.
And you have
four
children?
This call.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm
she
sorry.
Has four
Go
children.
Ahead.
She needs to take that money and build a school for her children. Let's take this call from 404. Welcome into the Lotus Place.
Well, greetings, ladies and gents. How are we doing tonight?
Oh, wow.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey,
well,
Sarah.
Yes,
did you get my
namaste,
name?
Sarah.
Oh, namaste to you, Aja, as well as TNT and
how are you?
All of us. Yes, Black Rose. It's been a while. I've been working two jobs. I've been like these Jamaicans with all these jobs.
So, I know, we've been missing you. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, so
did you get my check, Sarah? I want to know, did Sarah get my check?
Yes, I've been getting the check, as I told Mr. Brown, because he had called me a couple weeks ago, and I told him, I said, well, I have to go into my job. I have been going into work for 5 o'clock, sometimes five in the morning. So when you have it going that early, it's, you know, I have to get up at four in order to, sometimes it's 3:45 and all these ridiculous hours in order to, you know, to get out of here. So I've been going to bed pretty early. So that is why I've been missing to call into the shows, but. It's been hectic, ladies. Yes, I've been listening.
What
do
you
the
think
archives.
About that, Sarah?
Well,
do you think about the ladies spending the money? We know have something to say.
Yes, I've heard it the first time when that happened because she's a young lady. She used to work at Walmart, and that's in North Carolina. That's where she lives in North Carolina, and she won that. I think she took the lump sum payout. And ever since then, she has been bailing this boy out, you know, of all of his troubles. But in this particular case, what I think that the system is going to do is going to set it up because since she is so willing to pay him out, they're going to set him up on all kinds of frivolous things in order to drain her bank account. That's what they're going to do.
That is correct. That is correct, Sarah.
Because they see she's a silly woman. And she's going to keep doing these things, you know, putting her children's future at stake in order to get this man out. And they're going to set him up because he might not necessarily be doing anything wrong, but just because they know of his association with her and her
right.
money, they're going to try and drain her dry because they know the average person who wins the lottery within 6 years, they're like the NFL players, they go broke. They tend to go broke. Because they have no management skills, they came from nothing. They don't know. They have nobody around them supervising them on what to do with this money. And easy come, easy go. Because already it is going. I believe she won that in 2014. Was when she won that that Powerball. So if she's already spent the $22 million on him with his court cases, and I'm sure that they have other cases coming up that they're gonna be draining.
And now
some more
she
money from
called
her.
A case. Now she have called a case.
Well, you know, it's like I said, they're going to try and do because with us and with this system of racism, white supremacy that you're existing within, these people are going to find some kind of way to fleece you of your cash. And
oh,
they're going
that's
to
right. But,
all her cash.
But Sarah, can I ask you a question? Now, don't you think she being silly herself too? She's doing some of this to herself too.
She's been very irresponsible. But when you come from a background where you didn't know no better. At her age, she was under 25 with four children, a single woman with four children. It's your irresponsibility to her part right then and there. Because if you're not married, you're a single woman raising four children, it shows that you, first of all, you're breeding like a slave. You're not practicing safe sex. You're not practicing birth control. Something is wrong. I can see if a woman got pregnant once. You went out here, you didn't know what she's doing. And you got caught the first time, you got knocked up. But four times, and you were not married, and you under 25 with four children, something is definitely, so she was working at Walmart, barely scraping by. I'm sure she was on the system they were giving up all kinds of welfare she was receiving for these public assistance for these children. And you're being very, very irresponsible because you've got to think of the future of your children. And you don't want these children to be around this individual because if he's targeted, because he's a man is targeted, they are watching him and they're trying to get him down. And if they're going to get him down, you're going to go down with him and they're going to take your children from you. And that would be my priority.
Inhaling your money.
You know, my priority is my children over any damn money because my first focus is my children. I don't give a damn about this man because I didn't give birth to him. He's not my responsibility. My responsibility is these four children, especially the special needs child. I have got to make sure that I'm here to take care of these children because as you were dealt, you already know what you're going through with your two grandchildren that were taken from you. And she has four
that is correct.
From her. And then they're going to make sure she got all this money. They're going to make her pay the system for somebody else to take care of her children. So we've got to be a bit more responsible for ourselves when it comes to taking care of our children and our physical well-being. Because getting knocked up is not the only bad thing that could happen. You could end up with some kind of contagious disease from you going out here and you not practicing safe sex.
She said that she was going to donate some of the money to her church and
I'm sure the church got
their
cut. I'm sure they already start putting on the building.
Oh, yeah, they sure do. They made her feel guilty.
Yeah, they worked up.
She
took the pails already, and I'm sure she don't have somebody financially managing that money for her to make sure that she's not being irresponsible with it. It's going to be gone. I could guarantee you that within 3 years, you're going to hear the same woman who won this money, that she's back on the system collecting wealth for their Section 8 housing.
Yeah.
Because all of that money is gone. The system is ready, and the man is gone with the money. The same
gone
way the money comes
in,
he's
absolutely
gone.
Correct.
And
if she go buy a big house and she ain't got no money, can I say this right quick, Black Rose?
Yes.
If she go buy a large home, and she got to realize the larger that home is, the more expensive that home, the more high those taxes. And if she don't have the money to pay them taxes at the end of the year, she ain't made no provisions for nothing coming in, she's gonna lose that home. And she
like
and that's why you
field.
Got
just like if
you
got to
make provisions.
You got to live within your means. I know that you got this kind of money, but to me, you're gonna buy a piece of land outright. Own the land, you're going to have to pay the taxes on that because white people are going to make sure they're going to get you one way or the other with taxes because you never own nothing outright. You would always have to pay property taxes on whatever it is that you own. So you need to be able to manage whatever it is that you have. If you got to buy you a $200,000 house, North Carolina, I'm sure you could get property at a very good price in North Carolina that she could manage, she could pay outright and be able to set aside money to pay the yearly taxes on the property. There is no need for you to be living large. I don't understand how people could go and buy a $6 and $5 million house like Holyfield did with that place that he had in Atlanta and end up getting evicted now Rick Ross. He lives in Holyfield place. And he's gonna end up out of that house the same way like Holyfield did. he's going to end up, the people going to come back, white people going to come back and take that property from him the same doggone way. That's why you've got to be able to be responsible with your money. You can't go here and just spend wildly, because white people don't do that. All them so-called celebrities, you don't know how they're living or what they're doing with their money. But when black people got money, you always keep hearing in the news, well, oh, they're going to the jewelry store, or they got this kind of money. It's just like with Mayweather. You know, burning money to the club, and you know, doing all of these ridiculous things that they're doing with their money. It shows, you know, to go back to the beginning of your show, giving all honor and to our most recent ancestor, Dr. Frances Cresswell, as she was always, you know, trying to tell us about black self-respect and about, you know, being a bit more responsible with our children, because she always says that when you fool around with sex, the jokes is always on the children. And she's very correct, because I see that on a daily where I'm living here with these people and their children. They are very irresponsible with their children. And the system is just waiting to get them, because black people, we funding the welfare system, the prison system, all of these various systems that white people have, they still have us in their system like the slaves. We are still making money for them one way or the other. And a lot of us are not realizing that fact, and we're not correcting our behavior.
That's right. Not correcting the behavior. I totally agree. And they are railroading or going to try to railroad this girl, because it seems like they arrested this guy. I think his name is McDowell or something. Arrested him for trying to arrange a street race, which I see.
What?
You know, yeah, a street race. I see the little white children all day long racing their cars.
Yes.
In these parking lots. So he was arrested for that. And then they also raided their home and found, what is it, less than half an ounce. I think less than half an ounce of marijuana. Now, here in Texas, a law was just passed, just this past legislative session. I think if you have, like, less than half an ounce, that's not even a misdemeanor. So that's, you know, I mean, a half an ounce of marijuana, please.
It could be planted, too. They could have raided the place, and they could have dropped it in the
community. Oh, yeah, Sarah. Yeah.
Yes,
I'm surprised they didn't find more.
Exactly. They just came in with enough so that they would have an excuse within which to tear up the house. Because I'm sure if they raided the house, they should have cut up the furniture, flipped over the bed, you know, do all that.
Yeah.
You know, do what they normally do, trash the place. And that's exactly what they do. They're going to trash the place. They're going to tell, oh, these niggas, they got money to burn. We're going to trash the place. And we're going to buy new furniture, because we're going to just destroy everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, Delta, what else you have for us?
Okay, we got one. I got two more. Let me give you another one.
Okay,
we have. This is on my Facebook page, too. You know what? We got some silly people. We really do. And I hate to say it like this, and Sarah is right, and Brother Brown and Canty, all of us are right. We got to do more shows about telling people about our youth. Okay, this is a story, and I forgot to put this down where this one happened at. Well, it's on my Facebook page. Well, three young boys got mad. They 15, 16, 17, and in the neighborhood, and if you see the video, you see grown people standing out there too. Mm-hmm. They were so mad with the mailman. Listen at this. They were so mad with the mailman because the mailman did not bring them their white man's Christmas. And they did not get their Christmas toys. The kids in the neighborhood did not get the Christmas toys until after Christmas. They got so furious with the mailman, they went and pulled the mailman out the truck and started hitting and beating the mailman about Christmas toys. The mailman was a black gentleman, and the black man got out of his car after they pulled him out of the truck. The black man began to fight the young boys back. The mailman ran to a yard, to another house,
with grown people standing out there. He ran over there trying to get away from the boys because they beating him about the toys. The lady tells the mailman, get away from her yard. Instead of telling the young men, do not beat the mailman. Where are the parents? And where are the community? But most of all, where are the fathers?
All of them need to go to jail. Every last one of them need to go to jail, including the neighbors. Because that is totally ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
What?
It is.
So they were supposed to be getting some toys mailed to them or something?
No, this is ignorant. It's purely ignorant. This is what happened.
You see, they have...
They got mad because they're supposed to get in charge mail. You know how you mail packages and, and you get so many packages and they tell you, you don't mail it in time enough, you ain't going to get. The mailman can't help it because it didn't come in time enough. They grabbed the mailman and started beating the mailman because they said a lot of the kids in that neighborhood, he delivered the packages late to the house. They grabbed the mailman.
This is once again lack of black self-respect if he didn't do that. Because it was a white mailman. They're damn
they
sure
do that.
Jump on him like him. It was a white mailman. They want to.
They wouldn't
it.
Do that.
But we don't have no respect for black people and black people's property.
Right, and that's
all
what Francis Crenshaw talks about.
That's exactly what she was talking about. Black self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because
black self-respect.
We do these things to each other, but the people who are most responsible for the condition that we are in, we don't do nothing to them because the white man can walk up in there. And the white man can walk through the black neighborhood at midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Ain't nobody going to jump and beat him up or say, well, what you doing walking through the hood? No, it wouldn't happen. That's the safest place for white people to be is in the hood because they're going to be protected. But it's not the safest place for us to be because we're going to get assaulted by our own people.
Absolutely.
We're breeding a subculture that instead of turning to each other, our young people now, turning on each other, and then we get these gun-running, corrupt, racist cops who are eager to get these guns into young men's hands with cartridges, knowing that they're going to kill each other or any of those things. Listen, during the days when our young people were political, police had a handle on who they were going to pop off first. They were so eager to get the front hand of the mall clock. They got to them while they were in this speaking. Unbeknown to them, the Kool-Aid that they were drinking before they went to bed was drugs. But I'm saying that when these kids were political, police would come into their homes, shoot them in the neighborhood, didn't care how they died. Look at the movie. What crime could they have committed to be incinerated alive? These young people, they are apolitical. They have no guidance in the home, community, or the schools or the churches. So all three institutions are failing these young people. So the system got black people where they want us in the lowest common denominator, and we are being set up for the final solution. Black people don't want to believe it, but it's just like black people didn't want to believe that this government turned on us. When we were living large during the days of Reconstruction, the civilian population will turn on black. As soon as Obama leaves office, you see the racism where the media don't demand that Obama be called President Obama by Trump. Trump, every time he mentions President Obama, he says Obama with a serious B, a serious B on that Obama. Now, the hatred, the legitimate hatred for black people and a black man in the White House. And our young people don't have no respect for themselves because they never had the training to know what it is to respect yourself. My mother told me, when you go outside the street, you represent your people. Don't you dare ever embarrass your people.
But look at the filth that's out here, Ken. The music that they're listening to. On a daily basis, I can hear the booming bass coming from these people's cars with all of the profanity and the filth that they're listening to. When you have all of that stuff that you're consuming on your subliminal level, and you playing this up to your headset, your race. They're not listening to anything wholesome and healthy. They're listening to everything that's calling black women bitches and hoes and F that nigga up and kill a nigga and all this kind of stuff. That's what you're listening to. So you're listening to all of this demonic music and all of this stuff. And so therefore, you're looking at another black person. You don't see a black person. You don't see yourself. You just see a beast, a demon. That's what you see, because that's what you're listening to. You said kill a nigga, off that nigga. That's what you're listening to.
That's right.
And it's very, very violent. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And I remember, in the late civil rights era, parent had brought a child in and saying, these male children, it's always the principal, the teacher says he's smart, but he won't study. And so I said to this little 10-year-old, sweetheart, don't you want to work hard in school so you can help black people? And the little boy very innocently said no. And I said, why not, sweetheart? He said, because if you try to help black people, you will be killed. And he said, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, George Jackson. You see, now I'm thinking IQ 265. Brilliant child. You see, who had observed what actually takes place and goes on in the society. You see, and it's just like semi to the Jewish religion. We're not standing up. Sigmund Freud did not stand up and talk about anti-Semitism. They were hoping to become assimilated, and they did not want to be in the position of accusing the people who had historically mistreated them. They didn't want to talk about it. Freud talked about sex repression. He should have been talking about the repression of Semites. You see, but the word Semite means mulatto, half black, half white, mixed race. And they wanted to be accepted as German. This is like black people wanting to be accepted as Americans. And so as Americans are made, American translate white, are being made uncomfortable with the discussion about racism, then we won't talk about it.
State, a 150-strong armed militia is occupying a federal building in the state of Oregon. They're calling on what they deem American patriots to join them and stand up against the government in Washington.
And bring your arms in. The point is, until that line is drawn and say, we've had enough of this tyranny, you are going to leave us alone, it will not change. And
yeah, right.
See, this is the power of America right here. People got together for this. It doesn't have to stop here. This could be a hope that spreads through the whole country, the whole United States. Everybody's looking for this hope because the government has beat us and oppressed us and took everything from us. They will not stop until we tell them no.
The militias say they're not ruling out violence either if police try to remove them from the occupied premises. The standoff started as a debate over the federal government's authority in local matters. Artizika Priskinov explains a bit more.
This all comes off the back of two local farmers first being convicted of arson, put in jail. This case was used by the authorities in the framework of the anti-terror law, which wasn't really explained to the locals of why this was done so. Then, after they served their time, it seems that a federal judge decided that it wasn't enough and, sentenced more time for these people. It seems that that's what caused this public outrage. It seems that it went much wider than the local public and touched the nerve of those opposing the federal government. We are looking at about 150 armed people who seem to have occupied federal buildings. They're calling the federal government as being tyranny. They're threatening to occupy more state buildings, and they're calling for more people to join them.
We're going to be freeing these lands up and getting the ranchers back to ranching, getting the miners back to mining, getting the loggers back to logging, and where they could do it under the protection of the people and not be afraid of this tyranny that's been up on them.
We know that local authorities have closed the local schools in that area. They're advising the residents not to go there.
The story is getting plenty of online attention today with the hashtag Oregon under attack trending on Twitter. People there are asking why heavily armed men are being allowed to act in this way.
Did I miss the call for the National Guard in Oregon? I recall them in Ferguson and Baltimore.
If they were Muslims, we'd be talking about bombing country. But they are white Christians.
Peaceful, with some military-grade weapons, and said they're ready to die. Sure, why not?
A psychotic militia has taken over a federal building in Oregon. Tell me again how it's Syrian refugees we're supposed to fear.
So apparently you can walk up into a federal building looking like this. It's just 38 feet.
And we've just seen this man among the protesters. His name is Ammon Bundy. He's got previous experience of opposing the government too. In 2014, a dispute over ranch land between his father and the Nevada authorities led to an armed standoff. Federal agents faced heavily armed activists from all across the country at one point, ready to defend the rancher's interests. In the end, the security forces withdrew, with the activists proclaiming victory. Among those who came to show their support in the standoff was also a self-proclaimed civil militia called the Oath Keepers. They and other groups have been involved in other interventions too.
Okay, so their first clip was one from Dr. Francis Chris Welsing. And then we just had a little news clip about a breaking news story taking place in Oregon. Our militia have taken over an area there in Oregon. And I think it's, what's his name? Alvin Bundy's son, one of his sons, is involved in this whole standoff. And I'm just like, okay, so, So I wonder if the sheriffs and all, the whole little clan, if they're going to go and try to stop them, because these people said they're not leaving, and if the sheriffs come, they will resort to violence. So I'm like, okay, let's see what's going to happen with this standoff. So, Delta, do you have a hot topic on us? Do you have any updates on this story in Oregon?
No, just what you heard, but I can voice my opinion. I think
okay.
They need to go in there and kill. I think they need to kill every last one of them. They got to stop them. And the reason why I say they need to stop them, because we'll wind up just like the other countries. We'll have people going in to be able to do whatever they want. They started doing that, and after a while, they're gonna come. It's the white men gonna come and start seizing the black folk homes, running them out of their homes. And the white man is getting ready to do whatever he wants to do to the little poor people, poor black folks. So I think they need to go in there and kill every last one of them. If they want to fight, give them a fight. That's the way I see it.
So you think the army will come out?
Oh, I believe they're gonna do something after a while. I don't believe they're gonna keep on letting them do it. It's leading up to it, because why are you closing down the school? Why are you moving all the people out of the way? Don't that tell you something right there? If you're closing down the school, telling the people that move from out around that area, that's telling me that you're going to take a stand. And it's time to take a stand. You take a stand for a black man walking down the street and looking at you the wrong way, and you'll kill him. You'll take a stand with Freddie Gray running down the street. He look at you and start to running.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go back to the Freddie Gray story since I mentioned that. Now they said on the news the other day, Freddie Gray was an informant. So was they trying to kill Freddie Gray to keep him from telling something?
Yeah, well, I remember that's what Darren Muhammad was speaking about when he came on the show, how that's one reason why a lot of these guys run from these cops, because they want them to be informants or try to take them to these little black sites like in Chicago and kidnap them and disappear them for a few days and torture them and all of that to have them provide information on different cases or lie or conspire to build up cases on other people. What are your thoughts, Sarah? What's going on up there in Oregon?
Well, I wouldn't call it black sites. I call it white sites. Let's just get the negativity off of the color black.
You're right about that. I know that's right.
Because it's white people running these sites that they've set up within which to torture people who are black. So they are white sites. Now, this situation that's going on up there in Oregon, you know, it shows that white people would allow that. If the Nation of Islam was to have done a standoff like that, we all already know there's going to be the FBI, the ATF, you know, all of their alphabet agencies would have been out there. And they would have shut them down within one day. Within 24 hours, it would have been over and done with. But white people are allowed. Matter of fact, before it even got off the ground, before it could even get off the ground good, they would have had all of the state police would have been called in there, from the state police, the sheriff's department, the local police, and including all of the federal agencies. They would have had it on lock. And they would have squashed it. They would have did it like they did a Waco. They would have come in there with drones and do a Christopher Daughter and burn up every doggone body. Mm-hmm. Incinerate the whole doggone place. But because it's white people, they allow them to take this to get away with whatever the hell they want to do. And they're always running around here, come looking at us, thinking that we're going to be the one to cause terrorism, that, oh, look, for them Muslims and them Arabs and them black people going to be the one to cause problems. They need to look at these damn white groups. These white fringe groups are the ones who's going to cause the biggest riot because, as you said, there are no jobs. All of the jobs are gone. This country, they have stripped all of the jobs. Send them to Mexico, China, India, wherever they have to send them. They ain't got nothing in this country. They don't make nothing. So all of these boys, farm boys, white boys, who think that because once they get out of high school, that they got a job waiting for them, they see there's nothing waiting for them. Except if they go and join the army and they go overseas and they go and they kill brown people. That's the only damn job that they got for them. They got nothing for them in this country. So they're going to be the ones to take up these guns and do these assault tactics. And the government have a long patience with white people. They have long patience with each other, that they're going to talk each other down. They can do whatever they can to bring them in alive. But they're going to do that with nobody black. The minute we step out of pocket, oh no, we're going to shut this down. We're going to do it in a violent manner. We're going to televise it on all the TV stations, so that everybody across the country could see that if any of you niggas, y'all try and do this again, this is what we're going to do. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. They're going to make an example. Mm-hmm. But they're going to let these white boys do whatever the hell they did it in Nevada, so now they're going to move to Oregon, and they're going to say, okay, we can do it over here now.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at the pictures, it's just like what you stated, Sarah, it's a lot of these young boys, like the young men that they were showing in the clips. They're probably like, you know, under 30, 25, 21. And like you said, they're coming out of school. There's nothing for them, no jobs, no nothing. And these white boys, they're taking up arms. But you know what? My thoughts are, I wish that some of these black men would have enough nerve to say, look, we have a damn standoff. But then, like you said, hell, they'll blow us all up. So I don't even know if that's a good idea, because they're not going to negotiate with our black men. They'll just go in there and just burn everybody up. But it's just quite interesting, though, that they're able to have this standoff. And I wonder how long will this standoff go, because they calling in people from all over, calling in people to come in and stand with them, and people are coming. They have their little American flags out there, and they're waving them all around, and they said they're going to shoot anybody.
Well, that's what they've always done. That's what they did at the Bundy Ranch. They have done it out here in Texas. They're from Texas, white people, because with Texas passing this new gun law where they can have guns anywhere. So it's just the Wild Wild West again. They're rolling back the clock into the days when they could just run around here, pull out those big guns, shoot up the place, take whatever they want, and ain't nobody and no law going to stand in their way. That's what they're doing. They're rolling back the clock. Yeah, they ain't got no jobs for these white boys. These white boys seem to have an entitlement that they're white, and once they get a certain age, they're supposed to have a job waiting for them to walk right into. And they ain't got that. This generation going to be worse off than our parents' generation, because there is nothing here waiting for you to do. As, you know, Doctor said, they're shutting down all these schools. They're privatizing everything. So everything is going to be at a premium. There is nothing in this country for you to do. Everything has been outsourced. They have taken everything from this country and shipped it overseas.
Mm-hmm. They certainly have.
And then also, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Delta.
I would like to make another comment about another story that's breaking, too.
Okay.
You know, there's a new video that was posted on CNN. It's on my Facebook page, Dorothy Dunning, D-U-N-N-I-N-G. Go and look on Dorothy Dunning Facebook. There was another video posted by one of the ISIS leaders, and people laughed at me a while back when I said this. now the ISIS leader is telling the people, they're showing the people the Donald Trump video. They took Donald Trump video, what he said about all Muslims. They're using it to recruit people. Then now the ISIS people have took the videos of all the young black men being killed. They have took the videos of all the young black men being killed. And now they are asking the black men, telling them that they don't have a country, they're being killed in their own country. They asking them to come and stand forces with them. And that's what I predicted. I predicted after a while they're going to reach out to the black man and they're going to ask the black man to come and join them. And you watch and see, you're going to have a lot of young black boys who don't have no jobs and who is down and out. You're going to find them running to join that ISIS propaganda. You just watch and see.
Well, they're foolish as hell if they're foolish as hell if they did something like that, because ISIS is part of the United States and they own the COINTEL operation. The United States is running ISIS. And all this is doing is it's trying to ensnare and get as many of these old fools who want to run out here and hook up with them so they can slaughter you. That's all they want to do. The United States, Israel, the Mossad, CIA, MI6 in the UK, as well as French intelligence, they're all running ISIS. Vladimir Putin even put it out there. He told y'all who's running ISIS. So they can cut and paste all these videos and put it up there and tell you all of this nonsense with Donald Trump and, you know, come and join up ISIS. All you're doing is you're running from one fire, from the fire into the frying pan and get your ass off. Because that's what's gonna happen to you.
No, that's right. And they don't need to join ISIS to fight. Yeah, just go on out there and fight.
You got stuff happening right in your neighborhood. They're cops and shooting you down and killing you right there in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You need to protect the damn hood instead of listening to some propaganda about, you know, that's being fed to you by corporate media and the federal government.
That's right.
Stay where you are in your neighborhood and protect it. Because there you know what's happening. You know
that's
these
right.
cops are killing you like flies at a Sunday school picnic. You need to be right there protecting your mama, your daddy, and all of them. That's who you need to be doing. Instead of one of
that's
those
right.
goddamn Arabs. Them damn Arabs don't give a damn
Thank
about
you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can fight right here in your community where they're shooting people in the doorway.
I'm protecting they
in the
all.
Middle of the night.
That's all you're doing.
So,
it ain't a hood. You keep hammering all these killings. You know, cops see you walking down the street. Oh, you look suspicious. You got your hands in your pocket, and all of a sudden, they see you just for having everybody getting shot in the back for having their hands in your pocket or walking down the street. You need to be concerned about that instead of listening to this crap that's coming from ISIS and or whatever system that they come up with, telling you that you know you need to join up with them. That's just the United States running their damn double agent counterintelligence crap in order to scare as many people.
That's it. That's exactly what it is. Running their little games, running their little Ponzi schemes, and all of that. You don't need to join ISIS to fight terrorism. Hell, fight damn terrorism right there on your street. Anytime these police officers can go, these cops can go to somebody's house and shoot a woman while she's standing in her doorway, in her doorway, in her nightgown. That's what you need to be fighting.
Exactly.
That's what you need to be fighting. And so I do commend the people in Chicago, because I heard they've been standing up protesting for a good little while, over a month now.
still trying to get Rahm Emanuel out of office, made him come back from his vacation in Cuba, I heard. So,
well, these not only with Rahm Emanuel, but these inept politicians, you know, what this is showing us black people is for those of us who still are not seeing and pretending that they don't want to see, it has shown us that having all of these black, that politics is not going to get us out of this mess. You can put all the black faces in high places. You got a so-called black African American as president. You got two black attorney generals. And black people are not getting no justice for all, in this system. We're getting killed left and right. And they're using the federal government. Everybody's crying, oh, we need the FBI to come in and investigate. Now, why the hell are you going to call the fox to investigate the wolf for Steve for killing the chicken? That's what you're doing. Because the FBI is a part of this cover-up. Why the FBI is just going to come in there as a ruse and say, oh, the feds going to come in. And all the feds is going to do, they're going to come in, they're going to, because the same thing happened with Mike Brown case, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, all of these people are calling for the Trayvon Martin, all for the federal. They're going to come in, they're going to play around with your head for a couple of months, and they're going to come back. Mm-hmm. Oh, we find no reason.
Shuffle some paper.
Yes, it was justifiable homicide. We have seen this played out how many times. And then now they talk about, oh, well, we need to go to the UN and have the UN to come in. The UN is responsible for all that crap that's going on in Syria and on the African continent. So why the hell are you going to go to the damn UN? All you're going is to the head of the white supremacy to tell them to come and investigate their local redneck crackers. That's what you're trying to tell them to do, and they're not going to do it.
They're not going to do it.
I don't want black people to get it into our heads. You not stop begging for the damn UN. Stop begging for the federal government to investigate, because you're not going to get justice from either of those. They're all in cahoots.
You can't get black people to see that. So, Brother Brown, maybe Brother Brown can shed some light on the situation. How are you, Brother Brown? I know you were a big fan and follower of Dr. Francis Chris Wilson. Share some of your wisdom and knowledge. In fact, that's how we connected, Brother Brown, because when I had her on the show, then you reached out to me, and then you came on the show. That's how we became friends.
Right. Well, you know, I have met Dr. Wilson over the phone, I guess it's been about maybe 12 years ago when I first started my organization. And she was so friendly in our first conversation that we became friends. Mm-hmm. You know, her being who she was, and you know, some people are standoffish. When I first called her, I think it was in 2003. Let me see, that's about right, 2003. And I started communicating with her over the phone. And she gave me her office number and her personal number. When I first called her, I didn't look for her to be that way. You know, because some people say, well, you know, don't. She was one of the nicest persons that you could ever meet. Very down to earth, no hanky panky. No whole lot of foolishness. She was an exceptional person, let me say that. Then, about a year ago, I found out over the internet that she had some problems with her legal problems with her house. So I reached out to her, because I had never met her personally. So I reached out to her, you know, and I called her. She said, yes, Mr. Brown, how you doing? We talked. And I said, you know, I saw where you were having some problems. She said, yeah. That's why I would like to meet you and come to D.C., you know, and come to your office and look at some paperwork. I said, I'm not a lawyer. I said, but I studied law. And I said, a lot of things I might be able to help you with. She was very receptive to it. So that's how we personally met. And, I left here and I went to Baltimore. And then from Baltimore, I met her at office. And I was able to write up some things for her because they were going to throw her case out of court. And she had like 3 or 4 lawyers. And nobody did anything for her. And that's what really pissed me off, because you had two lawyers, two lawyers were black. One was a Jew and one was white. But thankfully lawyers in these states, none of the black lawyers will take her case. So
none
I knew this
of the black lawyers will take her case, Reverend.
And so I was connected with this lawyer that he's from Columbia, Maryland. And he's supposed to be this very, very prominent black attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought the brother was all right. So I had only met him once. And, you know, I met him once, but then he had a case down here where I live at in Prince of Dan, Maryland, where he was defending this young man. And, you know, and to be honest with you, technically he was full of shit. He's my language. So anyway, I called him, you know, and I told him, you know, that Dr. Wesson was in trouble, and, you know, I think one case that he had, she had testified as an expert witness in one of these cases for him. Him and another guy were part. So anyway, he was very, very familiar with her. So I told her about him, and she said, yeah, I remember the case, and she said, well, she didn't know how to get in touch with him. I kind of connected him with her, you know. And it was at the same time that she was talking about this problem with these Jewish people in their school. And this Negro, as you call the Negro Peter, this house nigga sit there and told me, he said, oh, yeah, I know her. I'd be glad to do that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And about a week later, she constantly tried to get in touch with him. Because she did a lot of programs off of a radio station in D.C. that I couldn't get on the East Coast. She was telling me about it. And he just dropped her like a hot potato. And I called back. And I said, man, what happened? I ain't dealing with her because she get on that goddamn radio and she talking about these Jews that she talking about. And I cussed him out. I said, here's a black woman in need of you. And you're supposed to be a black lawyer with so much expertise. You wrote these books. And cussed with the Harvard University. I said, it's niggas like you. And that's what I call it. I said, it's niggas like you that make us. And I said, I probably would never be able to become the attorney that you are on paper. I said, but my heart is bigger than yours. And I said, and we lost contact behind something else because he was a bullshit artist. And I didn't like the way he had pushed her off. I didn't. And we continued to communicate. So the paperwork that I did write for her, she was able to take it to an attorney and get her case back in court. And that's what helped her, and she thanked me for that. But on the other side, the flip side of that, we communicated on a weekly basis up until about three months ago, we used to call each other. I used to call her a lot of times, you know, ask her about different situations that was going on in the black community. She would elaborate, and she would give me her opinion on it. You know, especially dealing with Obama and other things, like, you know, she was very instrumental in telling people about looking at movies like 12 Years of a Slave, Scandal, and things like that, because she was a very opinionated person, but her opinions were valid. You know, but to meet somebody of her stature who was known all around the world for her, for what she stood for. And it was the same way when I met Millie Fuller. I never got a chance to go to D.C. because I talked to him while I was trying to move back in my house. But he was the same way. Very receptive, down to earth. You know, he invited me to his house. I just never got to D.C. yet. But, you know, these were people that, if you look at them or you hear them on YouTube or something, you would think that because they have such prominence, they would be sometimes standoffish. But they were just like people you see every day. They falter in their, how they have a rapport with people.
Absolutely.
And,
When I called Dr. Neely Fuller, I thought that I was like reaching assistant or something like that, and I was like, yes, Dr. Neely Fuller, and he was like, yes, and we just started talking. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just all like, oh, Neely Fuller, oh, I'm so glad to speak with you, and da 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 da, and he was like, well, I'm here, and you're so right, Brother Brown, they're just very down to earth people, and I guess it's because, you know, we look at them like, oh my God, you put out this great work, and I just love your work and your vision and how you help people. So we do exalt them, but they are just really regular people. They're phenomenal people.
Yeah, they were phenomenal people, and you know, they I think we ended up for the first time we talked. We talked for 2 hours over the phone.
Oh yeah, he will talk to you now. Yeah, we talked about 2 hours. Right? He will talk to you.
Yeah,
Mr. Brown, if I may, just quickly, and greetings to you, Mr. Brown. Nice to hear you on
how
the
you
phone.
How you doing, sir?
I'm not doing so well. I'm not going to tell a lie because this, when I heard the news, I heard Anthony Browder call in on the DC radio station and he said that Dr. Wilson was in the hospital, that she had a stroke, that first of all, they said her sister was trying to reach her from Chicago and they couldn't reach her and they contacted him and he got in contact with the Metropolitan Police and they went to her residence to see what he could have, whether it opened up the residence or a car was still in the garage. So they accessed the house and they went in and they found her, she was in bed and she had received a stroke. And this happened on Thursday morning, I believe it was when he called, because Dr. Wilson, the last time she was on the radio was on Tuesday, because she called into the radio station this past Tuesday morning and she did a show on Tuesday. So whatever happened, that stroke, she must have caught that stroke on Tuesday evening was when it happened. So she was there for a whole day and a half by herself. And she got a series, in that house. So if somebody would have caught her that Tuesday or that Wednesday, would have checked up on her that Wednesday, they would have, maybe they would have been able to have gotten her in time before it became so bad for her because this is what hit me so hard when I heard what happened to her, is because she reminded me so much of my mother. And it really and truly, I didn't agree with Dr. Welsing on some of her philosophy with Jews being so-called mulatto Semites and white people being a part of the black family. That is where I differentiate with her from, because I said we don't know where these people are from. We don't know unless it's a recent event where they intermarry or interbred with us and they came about recently, or we can look at recent events to say, okay, well, this person is a mixed breed like Barack Obama and something like that. I am not going to make that stretch and say, okay, we're responsible for all of these people on this planet. That is something that we don't know for about, and that is where I disagree with her on that philosophy with her saying, putting them all under the human family tree and saying that African people are the progenitors of all of these people, and I disagree with her on that. But everything else that she has said, you know, I'm in agreement with her on that, especially when she's talking about black self-respect. And when I heard what happened to her, and, you know, for that day and a half, she was in that home having a series of these mini strokes. It seems that to me, it seems a very cruel thing to do to our elders, is that these learned people of such high learning. Because she reminds me of Dr. Julia Hare. Dr. Julia Hare is going through the late stage of Alzheimer's, where their memory is going. And all of these brilliant cultural scientists that did so much for the black community came up with all of these formulas and all of these things for us. And it seems such a cruel thing that, you know, you would stop them in their brain. You know, you would take away their ability to think and reason and be able to communicate. That is where they always get hit. Because Dr. Julia here, her analytical skills is gone from her. Dr. Wilson got hit with a stroke, you know, it hit her in the brain area, and she ended up leaving out of here within a matter of 2 days.
Dr. Ben. You know, he went down like that.
He was in the nursing home
for so long.
It seems that it is such a cruel thing for these people, such brilliant people, such brilliant minds,
And when they leave out of here, they don't leave with their minds intact. Their minds get taken from them, and then the body ends up giving up, and going out. The mind goes first, and then the body goes last. It's very cruel, and as you know, Mr. Brown said, Dr. Wells, and I heard her say it on several programs where she's talking about no lawyer, no black lawyer in D.C. wanted to take on her case because the Jewish school who built their school right next door to her, and they wanted her out of her house because she was standing in their way for expansion. And a lot of the children from those schools, they have members on the United States Supreme Court, I'm guessing with Ginsburg and Justice Breyer and all of them, their grandchildren are going to that school. So it shows you the reach that these people have, and people are all going to talk about, you know, the Jewish and black connection. We need to sever this damn connection because we got no goddamn connection with these damn people. Because what they did to her, it's unforgivable. It is unforgivable. And we should never let them forget what the hell they did to that woman. Because they're the ones who drove her out. This is the stress that she was under. She never showed it because she was always maintained a calm. She always She was under stress because she was worried about her youngest sister, Barbara, was in an accident. And she was worried about her younger sister, Barbara, and her recovery. And then with this, what's going on with this school, the noise, because she said the children, the playground was right next door, and the noise, pollution,
the bells,
and everything else.
Yeah, yeah, she said the bells were always ringing.
Yeah. They were trying to drive her out. You know, it was very, very disturbing.
One of the other problems was that, see, that whole block was at one time all black. Okay, and them Jews, after they bought into that block, I don't know if I still got copies of her paperwork from that, what I wrote on that. But that whole block, they eventually started buying up property and property and property. So when me and her talk, we related that to the element of gentrification. And I told them, I said, you know, this is going on all across the country when it comes to black people and their communities and businesses. Anything that's prominent, anything that they feel can be of a future asset to them, they're greedy, hungry bastards. Now, when she related, because we heard dialogue about that thing about what you were talking about earlier, Sarah, and what she was actually saying was the credibility that most people don't look at. And if you listen to Credo Mutua, some of the things that she said, I don't know whether she derived them from him or listened to him, but and I asked her about that theory on, you know, and she said that basically what she was saying and was that everybody on the planet, every source of human being on the planet, came out of the African family. That through the elements of pigmentation and evolution, they evolved into the albino gene. And that's how we got different skin tones and different hues of color and different thinking abilities because of them being cast out of Africa. Okay? And that's not to say that these people are not diabolical, you know, because if that happened to them, and they know it happened to them, and one of the best signs that she gave me was Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud knew the truth, even though he was a proclaimed Jew. All of the artifacts in Sigmund Freud's office, and she was the one that brought this to my attention, everything in his office revolved around ancient chemistry. Everything in his office. He had pyramids there. He had statues of pharaohs there. Well, see, the Jewish community and the so-called white diabolical world will never tell you that Sigmund Freud was a worshiper of anything that came out of Egypt by him being a goddamn proclaimed Jew.
All of them know who black people are. They know what we are. But they're not going to tell you what they are. I don't know where these people came from. Like I'm going to say over and over again, Some of them are mutations from the black gene pool. But the vast majority of them, I don't know where the hell they came from. We need to stop making these guesses and saying, okay, that they came from the African family. Some of them have ripped their way into the black family. And that's how come they have this some of this melanin in them, which kind of makes some of them somewhat human. Because they got that melanin by raping their way into this black family. But the rest of them, I don't know where they're from. I'm not claiming them because I don't know where these things came from. I don't know where they're from, and I'm not going to be the one to come out here, and that's one with black people. If we don't know, we need to say we don't know. We don't need to make these guesses and stretches and try and lump these people in with us, because the way how they act and the way how they behave, they come from that same damn animal that like to be hugged up on, them damn dogs and crap that they like to be hugged up on. That's how they act. They act very canine.
Well, that's because of them being so messed up over the period of time, and we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. We're talking about, and see, that's not even really important today, and I agree with you, because right now, let's deal with the reality of who they are to us right now. They are the most diabolical demonic people on the face of this planet. And like,
they're not people. They're a thing. They're a mutated species, Mr. Brown. Like, we don't, they're not people, because anytime that you want to take something and you want to synthesize everything, you're going to denature food. You're going to destroy everything on the planet. These people, they have taken, their mission is to destroy everything on the earth, from the water, the air, all the way into outer space. They have destroyed everything. It tells you that there is something about these creatures that they are not organic to this earth. They are not organic, because if you are, you would not be in such a destructive mood to destroy everything on this planet.
But she always would elaborate on allowing people to see that these people, because of their mutant, that mutant albino gene and that albinism, they are fighting for survival. See, because we outnumber them and they know it. We grossly outnumber them. So by them being a minority, even going all the way back, let's go all the way back to the Rothschild, they interbred and intermarried among themselves to keep their bloodline, which was incestuous, in a pure manner, because they didn't want anybody else to infiltrate who they were. And that goes back to Christopher Columbus being a Sephardic Jew. These people are fighting for their survival, and that's, they're only trying what they classify in their domination. Amos Wilson said the same thing, is that they know their time is limited. The problem is not with them. The problem is with us. See, they don't have a problem knowing who you are. They don't have a problem studying who you are. You know, that was one of the things about the ISIS paper. They have always studied you. They will continue to study you, how you think, how you act, how to program you, and everything. Our problem is we have never studied them. We have never tried to use reverse con and psychology upon them as a people in our endeavors to liberate ourselves. And that is something that...
Our problem is we underestimate their capacity for evil. That's the problem with black people, because we always tell ourselves that they look like us just because they walk on two legs. They look similar to us. We always think that, okay, well, we all one big family. We all bleed red and all this other nonsense that black people like to tell you. The capacity for evil in these people is unfounded. You can't envision the evil that these people have within them. Because they would as much as look at you as slit your damn throat. You see it on the news every damn day, they kill their children, their wives, their husbands, whatever, just for insurance money or just for the hell of it.
That's right.
And the more we have integrated and say we want equality and every damn nonsense that we've been sprouting, we're taking on their same beastly nature. Because you see, we're doing the same damn thing, killing each other, packing each other up, and doing the same crazy
exactly
crap that these people that they're doing to their people, black people, mm-hmm. taking on the same damn evil.
Absolutely. Oh, I so agree with that. We have really adopted a lot of the evil behavior.
And
the
behavior
pattern.
It goes
we don't
back
care
to,
about each other, don't try to help each other.
We have a spirit of self-hatred. And I just left with a client this morning, this afternoon. And when she contacted me, I was not aware of the situation. And she told me, she said, Mr. Brown, she said, I needed some help. Because my 15-year-old daughter was suicidal. I'm like, you're who? Now, normally when I got cases like this, after me and Dr. Wilson made our connection, I would refer people to her and get them with child psychologist, child psychiatrist. But, of course, she's no longer here. She made her transition. But I had to take this case because I could not fathom waking up one morning, somebody telling me that this child had killed herself. So when I went and met with the mother, you know, I did what Dr. Wilson told me, always analyze the situation after you meet with the people. Don't take things for granted. And it was about this bullying thing. You know, and this issue had came up 2 weeks ago with another friend of mine, his client. So I told her, I said, well, I would take steps to help you. But the main thing is that I want to bring this to the attention of the authorities because it's getting out of hand. Anytime you have a child 15 years old that cannot go to school and thinks about killing herself because some asshole is sitting somewhere in the class where there's no discipline at in the whole damn school and your child is being bullied because of, you know, how she looks and a pretty little girl, just like a doll baby. Just as beautiful as you can see. And these fools over there where I live at in this county was talking about her like she was a piece of shit. That's because of the nature of self-hatred that's running around with these idiots who put this doll baby behind their fucking head. They put that shit in their children's head thinking that they got long white people hair. I am sick and tired of that shit. Okay. This is not your child's goddamn hair. I can see if somebody was trying to, don't just beautify the outside of the child. Teach that child self-respect and beautify who they are. Don't put that shit in these kids' heads and have them thinking that they're more pretty than anybody else. Let them be more pretty than white folks. Don't try to continue to let our children challenge one another in that aspect, you know, because that's where all of this mess. You never see black kids bullying white kids. They better not.
Right about that.
Their asses will be in jail. Their mamas will be locked up. Their grandmamas will be locked up. But, oh, it's okay to come to me, a black kid at school, and push me around and 3 or 4 of y'all try to beat me up and all of that. That shit is cute. Then you get to these little ball games and understand me. You give me a little bunches and talk about me. That's some of the most ignorant shit I've ever seen in my life. And it needs to stop. I don't care what state it is. I don't care what county it is. I don't care what city it is. It needs to stop. And
we have some damaged people, Mr. Brown, because being out here in Texas, I never knew that there were so much damaged black people until I moved to Dallas out here and I interact and I've seen these people and we just gonna have to, we can't save everybody. We're gonna have to get a core constituent of people that you gonna try and save and the rest of them, you know, they're just gonna become collateral damage. Because while you trying to save everybody, you're not saving nobody.
That's right. You can't save the world. Because the world got the people that are still asleep, the ones that have not had an inkling. Like I tell people, all this information, you got the whole internet. You got various books that we don't read, you know, because reading is not important to us anymore. You know, you got all of these black books. I thank God for my grandchildren because they are avid readers. And when they come to my house, it ain't no funny book shit. And I ain't none of that. You're going to read some black history when you walk up in here. And I'm going to give you a book review. If you stay here 24 hours, you're going to read a chapter out of one of my books. And the next morning when you tell me what you read on a piece of paper.
And that's what's needed.
Yeah.
And he trusts her. He trusts her and he trusts her and any discipline. And they're not getting it. Because most of these parents that you have running around here, their top priority is getting the latest electronic gadget, sitting in front of the television and watching all the garbage from being forced to whatever else they want to sit up there and listen. Because I hear the crap at work. They would sit up there and they could give you all the statistics from back in the 70s, from all the sports stats and what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did back then, and Will Chamberlain, and all this stats from way back in the 70s. But you can't tell me a goddamn thing about what's going on right now with white supremacy in 2015, 2016. But you can go all the way back to the 70s and give some goddamn sports stats. That's the foolishness that we're doing with these children. They could sit up here and memorize useless information that's not going to elevate and benefit them.
They can give you all kind of stats on who this and what they made and how much their tennis shoes running. Speaking of which, I read somewhere, and I don't know how true it is, I read that Michael Jordan is going to mark his tennis shoes down to $20 in 2017. Oh, shit, nigga, please. Get on my nerves.
Yeah, because look at the millions of dollars he done made off the black community, and he hasn't returned a damn thing.
Right, if you really want to do something, go ahead on and put them, just damn it, go give them out. Do some type of rebate or something. Do something. But you know, Michael Jordan, his ass, he ain't doing nothing but what he been doing. That's okay, because that little Cuban woman's going to take all his money. He'll be the next one sitting up looking sick and stupid.
And that's exactly, because all he can do is cut it down lower so he can sell more tennis shoes so that white Cuban could sit up in their hard on two half, three children that she just had with him, so they could end up taking up all his goddamn money. You see, I got sick and tired of all these Negroes who make money, and the minute they get two nickels, they run off there and they go and they get them on a white woman, an Asian, a Latino, or any other damn woman, but a black woman within reach to waste their money. That's why we don't have no wealth in our community, because we keep giving it away to other people. We keep our money, don't stay with us. Look at Reginald Lewis right up there from Baltimore, where you at, Mr. Brown. He went to marry a damn Filipino, so his company now is in the Filipino's hands. It's a Filipino company, because he didn't marry a black woman.
Right.
The first black billionaire end up on his damn company, end up being a damn Filipino company.
Right. And there was no excuse for it.
None whatsoever. That's why we don't have nothing. Because we keep, as you said, with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all of that, these people have a certain group within which they're into marrying and they're into bread so that their money could keep circulating within that certain family. We just marry willy-nilly and we don't give a damn, and our money keeps going right back into the goddamn white people's hands. But you are reckless behavior with sexing and making children and going out here with all these damn white women and white men or whatever else that you want to get involved with, and there goes your damn money. It's no longer in the black hands.
Well, you know, I was with some people a couple of days ago that, you know, they had sponsored Umar Johnson come to Virginia some time back. And when I was in Norfolk the other day for a funeral, you know, they called me and asked me was I in town, and we sat down and dialogue. And there were some people that really, really promulgated Umar Johnson's initiatives to buy St. Paul's College up in Lawrenceville, Virginia. And here was the problem that was brought to my attention.
What's that?
Umar Johnson has not been accountable for the money that he has collected.
Right.
He has collected over, and he has collected over $500,000. What he is saying is that there was something wrong with his PayPal account, and you know, the money. Well, I'm just telling you to show me documentation, because there were some investors, and they were like, you know, what do you think about it? I said, well, when have you known PayPal not to pay people their money to the tune of that kind of money? Now, they may charge you a fee for using their service, but they ain't going to take all your money.
But they could also put it on hold, too. You know, I wouldn't be so quick to cast Umar Johnson. I know he's been doing a lot of international speaking engagements where he's been going around doing something. He's going to have to make up his mind. Either you want to focus on building a school, or you want to do his other international speaking engagement. Because right now, the way how he is running on things, you can't be trying to build a school to educate children, and then you're running all around the world doing these speaking tours. And it could be because of who he is that PayPal, they could have also put a hold on some of his funds, depends on where the money is coming from or who is putting the money in there. They can do that. Because this, your federal government, I don't put nothing past this government when they're trying to block you from advancing.
All the money didn't come from PayPal. Let's put it like that. And another thing is this. The school is already built. It ain't like there's not a college there. They're already buildings there. St. Paul. And my thing is this. This is just for me. If you had collected $100,000, why didn't you put something in place instead of trying to wait till you collected all of the money?
Right.
And then why did you get on YouTube and call poor people that have donated some of the only money they make? Dumbass nigga.
Yeah. I didn't watch that video, but I heard that he was really calling black people trifling and lazy and things
Now,
in terms of the speaking, I'll have to look at it. In terms of the speaking, from my understanding, Sarah, he was going around on the speaking engagement to raise the money, because he was just here in Houston, I think maybe 2 weeks ago. So, but I was listening to somebody else that had a video out, and they said that he could have done something as simple as like what Marva Collins started in Chicago, right? He could just start off with a small school. You don't have to start off so big. Just grow it. Grow it into a freedom school. When I lived in Memphis, there was a Marcus Garvey school. And they only had a few students. They started off with just a few students. And it grew. Now, they had, just like any other school, they had their problems and all of that. But at least they did try to start something. They had something in place where they were teaching the young black children at the freedom school. So that, I too agree with that. I don't understand why he couldn't just go ahead on and start something small and
in Philadelphia, for instance. You know, talk to Marcus Klein right out there in Chicago. What Marcus Klein has done with the schools that he has been running out there in Chicago. You see,
right.
Umar, I like Umar, but Umar has, you know, he has an ego problem, and he also has a problem with his mouth. He's gonna have to learn some restraint with and a slight touch of arrogance, that people could come off as being arrogant. He's going to have to watch that, because if you're going to be running a school and you're going to be dealing with different personality types, the way you come off with people, you're going to rub folks the wrong way. And he's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way, because I've been hearing this from a lot of parents, a lot of people that say the same thing about Umar, because they don't like the tone of voice, the way he comes off.
Dismissive. Yes, he comes off very condescending, very dismissive, and very arrogant. I've always said that about him. He's always just seemed very arrogant. I love his message, because he's one that speaks about how black people don't view marriage as a business relationship. You know, we just go into it for the sex and hoochie-coochie, which seemed like that's what he was doing with that little stripper that they said he got caught up with. But anyway, I like that, what he said about how black people need to start looking at marriage as a business, because in particular with these black millionaires, because just like what you mentioned about the one that's going on with the Filipino lady, They take all of this money and resources, and then all of that's going over to the white woman and her family, or Filipino, or whoever the hell. And then
what? But Reginald Lewis died. He died at the age of 50, and once he died, his wife, she ended up taking over the company. Beatrix was the name of the company. No, I think it was bought out by Sara Lee, bought out at the company. So now the company is, you know, she got a big cut from that company here. She's the first black billionaire before Bob Johnson died from some kind of cancer, something. He died from the age of 50. And everything went into the Filipino hands. It went into the Filipino hands. Because he was friends with what's his name, the guy that went from that bankrupt Drexel Park, Michael Milken. Because Michael Milken is the one that got him set up and got him the funding and got him started with his business. And then that's why Michael Milken went to jail, because them Jews, they told him, you should never help this nigga get to where he got. So they got him, Michael Milken, and right after Michael Milken, he went to jail, did his time. Then all of a sudden, Reginald Lewis, he ended up dying from cancer.
He's got a museum in Baltimore, and I'm getting ready to pick a group of kids up there. One week we're going to visit his museum, and the next one we're going to the Black Wax Museum. And that's just something to give them a cultural element. Because I was just thinking, being that Dr. Wilson was so persuasive in me keeping my organization, because, you know, I touched Tusha Harizad Ali. And what she said when I told her about my organization, she told me, it's been some years ago, she told me that I didn't need an organization and I didn't need to classify myself as a leader, that I needed to join some organization that was already established and disband now. So when I ran that idea past Dr. Wilson just, you know, she just chuckled and laughed and she said, let me tell you something. She said, you keep on doing what you're doing because you are a leader.
Right.
And she,
you're a leader.
Like she said, the knowledge that you have acquired, we need that in our society. And she said, don't you let anybody deter your thoughts. And she said, because I went through the same thing when I was trying to prove my quest theory to people about white supremacy and racism. And she said, but I just stuck to my gun and I continued to do my research and I continued to do my evaluations along with Dr. Neil before. And she said that I just stuck to my gun. She said, don't let anybody turn you around. She said, I'm not speaking personally about her. She said, but you continue to do what you do. And that's what made our rapport such a thing. And I think that after her death, what I'm going to do when I do start my school is going to be named in her honor. It's going to be the Francis West Wilson African School of Free Thought.
Brother Brown, I think that's a great note for us to end on, because we're at 11 o'clock, and I love that, and I hope that you do that, because we need to keep her memory alive. And I would just implore everyone to, if you have not read her book or listened to the lectures on YouTube, there are hundreds of lectures of her on YouTube, please listen to Dr. Francis Cress Wilson and Dr. Neelis Fuller. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Delta. Thank you, Ajay.
Let me pray for your trip right there so that you'll be safe. So the
I got to go up there to Detroit with that little nasty water up there in Michigan. Ooh, y'all, please pray for me.
Take your water to drink.
Buy you some bottled water. Don't drink out the water.
Well, I got to take a shower.
Well, you can shower, but don't drink the water. We now come before our ancestors and ask for speak.
Ashe.
I just ask that the ancestors would just give us the Queen Mother, Francis Cress Wilson, safe passage in the transition from here to eternity, and that she may dwell with the rest of our ancestors and continue to allow her spirit to be pulled out upon us based on the work that she has done while she was on this earth. Ashe?
Ashe.
And I ask that our ancestors protect Sister Shira, protect all of our black women, and especially while Sister Shira is traveling, that she may have safe passage to and from her home, and that no harm will befall her while she's on this journey for her employment, and that she may be protected daily through libation from our ancestors. Ashe?
Ashe.
And I say.
Thank you, Brother Brown. And also, our condolences go out to Natalie Cole's family also. So let me go out with this little clip on Natalie Cole. I used to like me some little Natalie Cole. Yeah. Peace and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.